We often hear people talk about getting off to a good start. And certainly as I begin this sermon, I want to start well, because starting well is very, very important. Race car drivers know this, and that's why they fight ferociously in order to win the pole position ahead of the big race. And though starting does not always guarantee success, it does help us get going with some momentum. But we know that starting well isn't enough. We know that race car drivers who have won pole position, some of them don't even finish the race. But I think we'll all agree that we want to start well. We want to begin with some momentum. But more than that, we all share a desire to finish well. You might be aware that this weekend is Masters Weekend in the world of golf. And I'm not certain how many of you follow golf. I follow it from time to time, but Masters is a special tournament. And if you've ever followed Masters, you might remember 1996. 1996 was the year when Greg Norman got off to a fantastic start. Going into Sunday, round four, he had a 6-shot lead over his opposition. That is to say, Greg Norman began the tournament very, very well. He was rewarded for his efforts with a sizable advantage over his opponents going into the final day. But on that final day, you may recall, Greg Norman had a kind of collapse in terms of the effectiveness of his game. He frittered away his 6-shot lead. He shot a 78 and lost the Masters to Nick Faldo. Greg Norman, I think, is living proof that it's not enough to start well. It's not enough to have 3 great rounds out of 4. How we finish is very, very important. Few of us remember who began in first place. We remember who takes home the prize. Well, as I survey the New Testament, I see in the Apostle Paul someone who is deeply concerned about finishing well. Of course, Paul isn't thinking about athletic competition, even if he does use athletic metaphors. Paul's concern is that we finish well as Christians. He wants us to finish well in terms of our walk with Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people think about this. I wonder how many Christians think about what their walk with Jesus will look like at the finish line. Maybe you know some Christians who, when they first met Christ, when they first became a Christian, when they were first born again, they were so full of zeal, so full of enthusiasm and energy. They were so committed, so joyful. Their lives were marked by the fruits of the Spirit. Their speech seasoned by grace. Maybe you know some Christians who began very, very well. Maybe you know some Christians that have outstanding track records that cover many decades. You know Christians who have served faithfully on church committees, who have served faithfully as elders. You know individuals who have taught Sunday school, sang in the choir, helped out at special events, engaged in community service. Maybe that Christian is you. But our question still applies. How will you finish? How will you finish? Maybe you're new at this. Maybe you haven't been a Christian for very long. Maybe this whole church thing, this whole church experience is new for you, so you don't have the same track record of service that others do. Well, that's okay. That's okay because the main thing is not how you begin. The main thing is not when you begin. The main thing is how you finish your earthly life. And the prospect of finishing our earthly life puts all of us on exactly the same level. We have equal potential for finishing in a faithful manner. But we also share the same potential for a final round collapse. About 8 years ago, I attended a theological conference in the city, and I was attracted to this conference by the keynote speaker, who was well known as an expert in his theological field. He was a gifted communicator. He was much respected in the scholarly community. And so I went with a friend to this conference, and my friend actually had a personal connection to the keynote speaker. And as a result, we had the opportunity after this conference to dine with this theologian. And I remember being in awe of this man's knowledge, of his grasp and understanding of theology. I was in awe with his abilities as a communicator. And it was such a privilege to share the dinner table with him. But not very long after we had dinner with that world-renowned theologian, not long after that, this preacher had a very public moral failure. And that man is no longer in ministry. It's a sobering thing for someone to begin so well in the Christian life, to get on so beautifully for many years, to have it end so poorly. Well, as the Apostle Paul closes his letter to the Colossians, he speaks about some of his colleagues and some of his travel companions. And as we compare Paul's notes as he closes the letter with some of his other writings, we get a glimpse into the lives of those who finished well and those who did not finish well. And I'd like to read that passage. We've been studying Colossians for many months now, and I would be remiss if we didn't walk through this final passage, which is largely personal greetings, but they'll be very important for our purposes. Beginning at verse 7 of chapter 4, we'll go right to the end. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha, the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it has been read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Well, there are a lot of names and places in that final passage, but if you were to engage in an exercise of comparing those names with other letters of Paul, you would see some very interesting developments. And the two individuals I would like to highlight this morning are Demas and Onesimus. Demas and Onesimus. Demas is mentioned just very briefly in Colossians, and he's also mentioned in Paul's letter to Philemon. In each instance, we simply read that Demas sends his greetings. It's the modern equivalent to Demas says hi. Demas is thinking of you. In the letter to Philemon, we learn a little bit more. We learn that Demas is a co-worker of Paul's. So at least on some level, we need to regard Demas as a pastor. Or at the very least, we regard Demas as a church planter on a team led by one of the most prominent church planters of all time. The fact that Demas is mentioned in more than one letter tells us that his time in ministry alongside the Apostle Paul was not momentary, that it was for a substantial period. And the very idea that Demas is even mentioned tells us that he had become well known, perhaps even well regarded by neighboring Christian communities. But then we come to Paul's final letter. At least it's the final letter we know about, 2 Timothy, the one you just heard read by Peggy. And what do we find Paul saying in 2 Timothy 4? Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. Demas, having loved this present world, deserted me. By all appearances, Demas the pastor, Demas the church leader, the church planter, Demas the colleague of the Apostle Paul, did not finish well. By contrast, we have Onesimus. And if you were to begin learning about Onesimus by reading Paul's letter to Philemon, you would see that Onesimus is the impetus for the letter. Isn't that amazing that I can rhyme Onesimus? Yes, Onesimus is the impetus for the letter of Philemon. You see, Onesimus had been Philemon's slave, and so Paul wants to give some instructions or some exhortation to Philemon. Paul describes Onesimus as having been formerly useless. Formerly useless. And what an interesting designation. Have you ever described a friend in those terms? Well, I'm going out with so-and-so tonight. Formerly they were useless, but now they're not such a bad person, so I go out with them from time to time. From Paul's letter, we can deduce this about Onesimus, that during his time as a slave of Philemon, Onesimus was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Moreover, we can deduce that Onesimus was not a reliable sort. In fact, quite the opposite. He was a thief. He was not someone who could be trusted. Onesimus was a deserter. He was not someone who could be relied upon. Clearly, we read Paul's letter to Philemon, and we see that Onesimus did not begin well. But then something amazing happens. Something outstanding. Onesimus becomes a Christian. And becoming a Christian completely transforms the character of Onesimus. And so I want us to note now how Paul describes the one who was formerly useless. And listen to what he says to the Colossians. Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother. Formerly useless, our faithful and dear brother. Onesimus might have stumbled out of the starting blocks, but by every appearance, Onesimus was on track to finish well. Friends, you and I have the opportunity to finish well. But I want to warn you and to say that finishing well isn't automatic. Finishing well in the Christian life is not guaranteed. Finishing well for you and for me is not a sure thing. But finishing well is within all of our reach. Whether you've been at this Christianity thing for a long time or for a short time, whether you've been nominally faithful or largely faithful, we all share and have the opportunity to finish well. I'd like to think that that is one of our priorities here at St. Giles Kingsway, Sunday by Sunday. I'd like to think that one of the big reasons we're here week by week is we're committed to helping one another finish well, finish strongly. Because admittedly, many things in our life conspire against our finishing well. Many of you are in the midst of challenges, circumstances beyond your control, relationships that are strained, and these things are conspiring against you finishing well. But you've come here this morning for help. You've come here this morning for strength. You've come here this morning for hope. And Jesus gives us all of those things. Through His people, Jesus intends to build you up and to help you to finish well. I hope you're all convinced of the need to finish well. But what does that look like? What does finishing well look like so that we can have some sense whether we're on track for this or not? Well, the first thing I'd like to say to help us determine how we can finish well is to think about what we're trying to do as Christians. What is Christianity? You've heard me say many times from this pulpit, Christianity is not so much a religion as it is a relationship. Christianity is first and foremost about engaging in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Master, as our friend. It's all about our connection to Him. That's Christianity. It's not about connecting to values as it is about connecting to the person of Christ. So if Christianity is about a relationship with Christ, what does finishing well look like? Well, let's ask ourselves, what would finishing well look like in terms of our relationship with people around us? What would finishing my earthly life look like in terms of having good relationships with my wife and my daughter and my friends and my colleagues and my parishioners? What would that look like? Well, it would mean having relationships where there were no regrets. I mean, not that there were perfect times with all the people I engaged with, but if we were reconciled to those around us, we could leave this earth with no regrets. If we weren't estranged from anyone, we could leave with no regrets. If we were on good terms with those who were closest to us, then we could have a sense that there's nothing left undone, nothing left unsaid. If we knew we were on the final track of our earthly existence, no doubt we would want to spend quality time with the people we were closest with. We would want to be with our spouse, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our brother, with our sister. We would want quality time with them, and we would want to engage in activities that were mutually valued. So what does finishing well as a Christian look like? Just transfer all those things I just said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to Him. Say what needs to be said to Jesus Christ. Listen to what He has to say to you in His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. Read about Him in the Word. Spend time with people who bear His name and who follow Him. Do things that Christ values. Friends, to finish well as Christians, it's not about doing things. It's about being with Christ. I wouldn't want any of us to go to God with a checklist. Paul realized the futility of that. He said, I once counted on the fact that I was a Hebrew. Not only a Hebrew, but a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. I was circumcised. I was from a prestigious tribe. Paul was counting on the checklist of done, done, done. And then he realized one day that all of that is dung. It's rubbish compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Paul discovered that it's all about the relationship. And so, friends, as you seek each for yourselves to finish this life strongly, forget the to-do list. Forget the to-do list and focus on the relationship. Focus on loving Jesus Christ, delighting in all that Jesus is for you. Will you pursue this relationship for yourself? It will bring you joy. It will bring you satisfaction. And I assure you, you will finish well. Amen.